This is episode 32 of The Fifth Estate, Peggy Newfield and Manners and Etiquette. Welcome to the Fifth Estate. My name is Jay Caruso. Before we get started here, I want to tell you about something related to our friends at Simply Safe, who are kind enough to be sponsors of this show. Now that it's 2017, maybe you are making some New Year's resolutions. Here's one I think you'll really like. It's easy to keep and your whole family benefits. Protect your home with our favorite award-winning home security, Simply Safe. They've extended their huge holiday sale for the new year, $200 off the best-selling Defender package they have. It's a 17-piece system of pure protection with around-the-clock monitoring and police dispatch. The minute your home faces danger, you know about it, and Simply Safe calls police. Simply Safe was built by a Harvard-educated engineer. His friends got robbed, and when they couldn't find home security that wasn't a ripoff, he started this company. Around the holidays, there's always a rise in burglaries. Make sure your home stays safe. There's no long-term contract, no hidden fees, nothing to hold you back. Now you can get this award-winning security system for $200 off. Simply Safe never has deals this big. Go to simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. But hurry, it's a limited time offer. Save $200 at simplysafe.com/ricochet. And as I said, my name is Jay Caruso. I am here with my co-host, Mr. Neil Dewing. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Jay. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And as you know, as you guys know, everybody on our who's listening here, we know one of the things that we love is for you guys to love us back. And you could do that when you go to iTunes. If you open up your iTunes, go to iTunes and then search for The Fifth Estate. You've already subscribed. We want you to review it. Leave us a star. Leave us a review. Tell us how much you like it.
Indeed, we would appreciate it very much and would reciprocate with some form of thank you note. Yes. And an acknowledgement of our gratitude to you, our faithful listeners.
That was very polite.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever taken a manners class or an etiquette course?
I'm from New York, Neil. You know what we do? When we want to call somebody in New York, we're not like, hello, sir. It's like, hey, yo, you. That's us. That's the extent of manners that I was taught in Queens.
Interesting. Well, I, being from the South, did receive formal instruction in manners and etiquette. And it was actually a class that I took. I was in the 7th grade. And it culminated in a high tea ceremony in which we all got to pretend to be very grown up and pull the chair out for ladies and that sort of thing. But we were instructed in this. We had an actual etiquette teacher. And I thought that this is probably something most people, most of our listeners, probably have not shared this experience, so I wanted to bring it to them. And so we reached out to our guest for this episode, Ms. Peggy Newfield, who is the director of the American School of Protocol, founder and president of Personal Best, Inc. and the American School of Protocol.
Peggy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jay and Neil. How are you today?
Oh, a little scattered, but otherwise okay.
It's beautiful in Atlanta today.
I'm glad to hear that. We've got about 7 inches of snow up here in Norfolk, so we're doing okay. It's beautiful in its way. But Peggy, and for those of our listeners who pick up on this sort of thing, we did receive prior permission to address her informally. You founded an etiquette school or an etiquette course called Personal Best in 1980. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And you offered etiquette courses to grades 1 through 12. But you also had clients who were in college, you had corporate clients, and maybe even some politicians.
Yes, and life has been a journey. At different stages in that journey, we have trained in different areas. We started off in 1980 by working with children, and that was 1st grade through 12th grade. And then from that, parents were so pleased, they brought me into their companies. Companies referred me to colleges when they would do, career shows, career day. Delta actually referred us to the University of Georgia, and within two years, we were in 22 MBA schools, and we never made a single call.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
When you're invited to do business within a company, instead of having to make a cold call, things are very different. So we have had a very unusual journey over these last 36 years. It has been quite a while. And then I was on actually a plane on 9/11, and that changed everything. And I didn't want to be on a plane every week at that point.
Understandably.
And I came back to Atlanta and just chronologized everything. We put it in order for training, and we opened our doors for the American School of Protocol to actually certify people from around the world to teach the extensive training that we had taught. Our training manual is over 900 pages. It is really quite a work. And today we're in over 700 locations in the U.S. and 40 countries, so it's been very successful. But everything is different. We started with children, and then we moved into corporate America, which included colleges all over the United States, and then a major certification training program.
That is amazing. So there is a fairly decent chance that my etiquette course was actually part of your organization.
I think from what you described, seventh grade, you were probably involved in cotillion. Sounds like, and cotillion's just an exercise. It's not necessarily an in-depth training course, and we don't even use the word manners today. We try never to say to children anything referencing manners, because when their parents say, we're going to send you to a manners class, it sounds to the student or the child like their parents must think they have no manners. So you see, they come in with a negative. Everything here is a positive. And that positive would be, you are such a wonderful child, or you are such a wonderful young person, or you have so many fabulous business skills. With our training, you'll be even better at your job.
Gosh,
so
you know
we
what?
Take the high road every single time.
I think I might want to take this course just for a little bit of a boost there. But could you tell
us? Well, we've trained the astronauts, so you can also be trained if you want.
I definitely. I think so. Well, could you tell us a little bit about your background? You know, how did you first, come to appreciate the importance of etiquette? How did you get into this role in your life? Did your parents teach you that, or?
Well, my situation was a little bit unusual. My mom and dad were married for 17 years, and they were told they'd never have children. So it was a big surprise when I showed up. And all the joy came to a quick end when my father had a cerebral hemorrhage 2 days before my first birthday.
Oh,
he was buried on my birthday. And that may have been one of the reasons that my mom and I were so close. If I ever argued with my mom or caused her pain by disobeying her wishes, I really don't remember it at all. I grew up in a small southern town, and church was the very core of everything we did. Even though we were poor, and I didn't know we were poor, we had everything that anyone else around us had, but manners and consideration for others was just the way I grew up. I didn't question what my mom even instructed, because I knew there was so much love there. And so I would say that my story is a tad unusual. My husband grew up in New York, and he was a part of a family, mother, father, sister, brother. So his upbringing was quite different from mine.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, Jay, there is a little bit of a New York element to this story after all.
Yes. Yes.
That's true. We haven't gotten to the yummy part yet.
The yummy part.
So what then? Okay, so you had this unique situation, and things were a little different for you. So how then what led you to kind of establish an etiquette training program? And just a little follow-up to that is, why is it necessary? Because that's a really good question, because somebody might ask, why is this being taught?
Okay. Well, as far as what led me to establish an etiquette training program, life is a journey, and for me, God is very much in the mix, because things change so rapidly. My degree is in voice and choral conducting, but my passion was always helping young children and adults understand that the way that they govern their lives literally led to the kind of future they were going to have, whether it was happy, sad, or whatever. And the word etiquette means ticket. It's a ticket of rules to follow. And God gave me a very strong gift as a trusted and believable teacher, and the journey began at that point. I can't even place it, because I didn't say to myself, oh, you're going to be an etiquette teacher. I grew up in a family, a large family, not my mother and myself, but my mother was one of eight brothers and sisters. And one of my aunts is very famous. She actually was involved in etiquette from the 1930s. We live in Atlanta. We have a home that will accommodate a lot of people. I can serve a lot of people here, a lot of common open space. So my aunt would come at Christmas, and I was a stay-at-home mom with two children, and she would say, what are you doing? I was very involved in the charity circuit, raising money for causes. And I said to her one Christmas, oh, I can't wait for my children to be grown so I can get back and do the adult thing full time. And so she said, well, why don't you teach etiquette until that point? I will help you. And I said, well, I'm certainly not interested in teaching etiquette, but I must have changed my mind, because in September, I sent out a letter just to our children's private school. They were an Episcopal school, only 400 families. And it was a three-sentence that said, I would start a test pilot training program for etiquette for children. It would be $5 a lesson, but they must stay with me for 33 weeks, which is a school year. And I thought, well, I'll write this program. I had taught at the University of Georgia, and teaching really was a passion. So it's going to be easy breezy. I'll have one or two signed up, and I can write a manual. Well, P.S., 60 signed up. 60, and I had no curriculum. So that was the day that really determined everything. When those 60 students came that day, I broke them up into six classes of 10. I wrote a syllabus a week. We tried it. We tweaked it. Their comments. And the biggest question that I found that they wanted answered when I said, tell me what etiquette means to you. It was exactly the same as an adult response, and that response was, and these were seventh graders, I don't ever want to know what is not going on, incorrect grammar, but I want to know what to do. And I thought that was pretty profound for a seventh grader. They wanted to know how to have a successful interview to get into the school of their choice. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know how to be a popular person. And, of course, that comes with kindness and thoughtfulness to others. So, again, it was just a marriage made in heaven, so to speak. And it has been wildly successful.
It sounds that way. And it also sounds like to me that this was a bit of a calling. You were looking for the word earlier, and I think calling or vocation maybe comes to mind there, because it sounds like this is really, you know, just using your gifts to the best of your ability and helping as many people as you can and fulfilling a need, honestly, because there, you know, you don't get 60 responses to a three sentence letter if there isn't a need for it.
That is very true, and within just that first year, which was a school year, a test pilot program, and we always called it a test pilot program because it was. And we would get calls, and parents would say, oh, my next-door neighbor's son is going through your training, and, oh, could you please just take my child now? And I would say, no, we will not take your child until September. September rolled around, my classes were full, and within just a year, I was teaching 7 days a week. I can't even begin to tell you what the income was like. It was so not about the money, but the money was pouring in, and I think when you are passionate about what you do, whatever that may be, and to be the best and have the right answers, not what you think, but what is proved and documented, mm-hmm. you can go so far in this world.
It's fascinating. So your first response was 60 students. How many students do you think you've taught over the years?
Well, our classes are 10 or 12 per class, and we stop counting after 10,000. We used to keep enrollment cards on all of our students. We had no room in our office. And so, yes, I would say thousands. I can't even begin to tell you, but the feedback. And so let's do a timeline. We started in 1980. Today, 2017. Oh, my goodness. The only thing that's wrong with that is I'm getting much older. But, okay, so here we are in 1980, and we were really training like crazy up until 2000. And 2000, we were doing well, but remember, 9/11 came shortly thereafter in 2001. And today, we just got a call that we have actually on tape, and it says, Ms. Newfield, I was a student of yours in 1988. Now, come on, you know, this is 2016 when this call came in. I was your student in 1988, and I went to Marist High School, and I just wanted to bring you up to date because I think of you almost every day. Now, come on, this is a stretch. How many years has this been? And it was, I went into the Army, and I just came out of the Army after my tours of duty, and today I'm Secret Service in Florida for a very prominent individual. And he said, I think of you every day because you started off helping me remember that my actions would either lead me in a positive direction or I could choose to be in a negative direction. So I thought, now, you know, this is really good. So I play this message for all of these people who are coming here as adults for training to be an etiquette consultant.
That is fascinating. And, you know, we can only guess at who that prominent individual in Florida might be, but etiquette
I can't
would...
divulge that.
Oh, certainly not, certainly not. But that... So you obviously had a you know, lasting impression on this individual, and I'm sure that the people that you're training and certifying are going to have similar stories down the line. So maybe you could run us through the kind of things that an etiquette teacher does, that is an expert in etiquette, the curriculum, those sorts of things.
Oh, absolutely, because this is what we strive so to get across to all of the people that come here. You can have passion about what you do, but there's something else that's very important. You are setting a major position, an example, a very positive example for children concerning personal grooming. How you look, everything about you is scrutinized when you're standing up in front of anybody. Your dress, your actions, your tone of voice, how to behave when you're at a dinner table. And I didn't even use the word dining because we literally eat three times a day, or in our case here in America, it looks like we eat more than three times a day. But an attitude, all of this is about this is your core of representation, and when you stand up as a leader, a guider, whatever, that's a huge responsibility that you take on to really present a wonderful, wonderful picture of what it takes to be successful. But it's a melting pot of all of those things combined, how you look, how you act, how you speak, how you walk, your attitude, everything about you.
Fascinating, fascinating. So you mentioned earlier that you never use the word manners because it has a negative connotation
it
for
can.
Children.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, are manners and etiquette the same thing with just different names, is there a different way to describe
it? They do have different names. And as we said, the word etiquette is a French word, and it means ticket, a ticket of conduct, of rules, so that you know how to behave in the courts of kings. Manners are actions. They're just actions. You either have positive actions or you have negative actions. So both follow a formula for the way that it's going to end up in your life. If you have good etiquette, a good set of rules, then you exhibit manners. So that was a very easy question to answer.
Interesting. Okay. It's not something that many people distinguish between, because I think if you think about it, maybe manners are the fruit and etiquette is the vine, I guess. Maybe that's one way to conceive.
Well, you can use any of those examples that you choose. I think if foremost we consider kindness as an etiquette rule, let that be number one, just how others respond to you, then your actions, which we would call manners, are going to be a deciding factor of whether it goes well or it doesn't go well.
Very interesting, very interesting. Peggy, we're going to take a short break. And Jay is going to tell us about a Blue Apron, and then we will be right back.
Yes, let us talk about Blue Apron. Everybody has to eat, right? You work hard, you come home, you want to be able to eat a good meal, but you may not have the time to sit there and cook, and you may not be a good enough cook in order to gather all the ingredients and everything and cook up a nice recipe for a meal, and you don't want to be the type of person that has to sit there and, you know, pull back a piece of plastic and put it in a microwave and poke holes to be able to enjoy some good food. So that's where Blue Apron comes in. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And it's so great because it's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's different varieties as well. If you don't like fish, you don't have to get fish. So you can get chicken and pork and beef dishes. If you're a vegan, sadly, you can also get vegan meals. It's great. They tailor it to you, and it's so easy, okay? Each meal comes with all of the ingredients that you need, so you don't have to worry about how much of what you have to buy. It's all there. And then there's a big card that gives you a step-by-step guide on how to prepare these meals with photos and everything, from preparing the ingredients to cooking everything and to getting it ready and set on the table. Last week, we had our first try with Blue Apron, and it was great. It was baked chicken parmesan, and it had fettuccine and kale, and all the ingredients were there, and it took about 20 minutes to get ready. It's amazing. So it's so easy. And again, it's affordable, less than $10 per person. So even if you have a family, it's not a lot of money if you want to go out there and have fresh meals delivered right to your door that you just take out of the box, follow the instructions, and you have a great cooked meal, Blue Apron. And here's the thing, friends of the Fifth Estate, you can go out there right now and you can join Blue Apron and get your first three meals free with free shipping. You go to blueapron.com/fifth. That's FIFTH, blueapron.com/fifth. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/fifth. Okay. All right, and we're back. Okay, so Peggy, here's a good question. Why does etiquette matter? I mean, what purpose does it serve in society?
Oh, I love this question most, because how we treat each other makes our day flow either with happiness and ease, or we can choose to be rude and angry and uncooperative. And make ourselves and those around us miserable. It's very easy to do. It's either a positive or a negative. And a great reference book and one of my very favorites that we always insist that our etiquette graduates have is from, it was written by Monroe Leaf, and it's called Manners Can Be Fun, and it was actually penned in 1936. Now, how could that even be relevant to today? And yet it is as fresh as can be, and there was no technology then. But you put this book, I have read it to so many children. It's definitely a book for children called Manners Can Be Fun. But it is an amazing book because it focuses on the home, how we treat our parents. Those are supposed to be the people who love us the most. And then our friends, our interaction with our friends. And it starts off, and I just have to read the first page at two because it's so clear. Having good manners is really just getting along well with other people. If we lived all by ourselves out in a desert island, there'd be no one to care whether you had good manners or not. But if someone else lived on the island with you, you'd have to learn how to get along. And if you did not, you'd probably argue and fight all the time, or you could stay apart and be lonesome because you would not have a good time together. And neither would be very much fun. Most of us don't live alone on a desert island, so this is what we do. And it is fabulous.
All right, so now you talked about this book going back to the 30s, but now do you think people are less polite now than they were, say, 30, 40 years ago? Has society changed?
Are you ready for my example of New York? Okay, well, let's just roll this up the flagpole here. It's very hard to say because it's hard to say because I am positive. This is a real fact that location has a lot to do with politeness. Let's use that old word, politeness. And when you grow up in the South, there's a very good chance, and I know the South has changed and the North has changed and technology has changed our world and brought us minuscule. We're right together on so many things. But in the South, there's a good chance if you stop and ask somebody for directions, that is, unless they could be from the North, but if you stop and ask someone for directions, can you tell me I'm lost and I need help finding this? And they'll say, well, you go down the road a piece, and pretty soon you're going to come up and you're going, all I want are directions, not a whole chapter on this. Just tell me how to get there. Well, in New York 3 weeks ago, I was there for a meeting, and the pace is very different. It is so hurried, so hurried in every direction. And this has nothing to do with, am I saying New Yorkers are rude? I am so not saying that at all. It's a different way of life. And it seems to be a more gentle time here than a faster-paced society. Do you want to help me clarify on that, since you're a New Yorker?
No, I certainly understand it. And since I'm from a New Yorker, but now I live in Atlanta. Well, I live in Kennesaw, so I see the difference. I know that, understand the difference. And you know, people sometimes have a view of New York where people aren't friendly, and they are. New Yorkers are very friendly, but you're right. Yeah. It's a different kind of pace
environment.
And way of life. And environment.
It is,
right.
And being under contract to a major communication company, I came to New York once a month to teach account executives. So I had 15 on Monday and 15 on Tuesday. Well, we teach this one-day business etiquette seminar called Power, Presence, and Style. I teach it all over the country. I go into corporations. We also set it up, and people come to us from all different types of industries. In New York, people would walk in, and we only take 15 in a class, and this was the mode of conversation. oh, dadgummit, today the train was up, blah, blah, I couldn't get my seat, blah, 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 blah. I just, and they would be frazzled. And yet, I can be in L.A. giving the same seminar, and that's not the kind of walk-in response. It's, oh, the mood is a little slower here. I mean, you know, it's, oh, today as I was, and then moved to a southern town. Last month, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Totally different feel. Oh, ma'am, how are you? How long did it take you to travel here from Atlanta? Oh, my gosh, you know, it was just a plane ride. It wasn't another continent. But all of this care and concern about getting there and doing it instead of the me, me, me. Oh, I'm sick and tired. I missed the subway, my car, my seat, blah, 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 blah. It was just a different mode of response. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying bad, good. It was just a different response.
All right. So you mentioned technology. What what has technology's impact been on, you know, on being on, you know, rudeness or etiquette, and you know, can it be used positively, or has it been a negative? What's your view on that?
Okay. Well, this is my take on technology, because it brings us to the world in a flash. Whatever is happening in the news, whether it is a shooting at the airport 14 minutes ago, television says, you know, this happened. And we're now a society that expects instant. And we're annoyed when we have to wait in line, we have to wait in carpool, for waiting for the meeting to start. We become impatient and annoyed because we are so into instant. Our busy lives are pushed to the max. So why can't life be just like technology? Well, I want it now. I want it answered now. And that's what technology has done to us. It has just made us more anxious, in my estimation. I see it every day. I experience it every day.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. I recently left Twitter after being on Twitter for a good long time. And Twitter is a place where you know absolutely what's happening the moment it's happening, but you often find out that what you thought you knew was erroneous because of, you know, the immediacy of it. And, you know, there's no time to verify any facts or anything. But it's also a place where people just constantly badger each other and harp on one another, and it's very informal, and the etiquette of Twitter is such that it's very difficult to figure out. I don't think the same rules of face-to-face interaction apply, all of which are reasons that I left. It was just aggravating after a while. And
well,
so
one thing that's following the technology forum is that we are losing the ability with our grammar skills. Oh, my gosh. spell, and don't always count on spell check. And punctuation. And we just had a college intern student this past summer in our office. And she said, this was a shocking moment. Would you teach me how to speak on the phone? We are talking about a magna cum laude graduate of high school. And she says to me, because we get a request from Dubai, we get a request from Switzerland, I pick up the phone and call them based on the time zone. Because if they're sending in a request about our training, chances are they want to talk to someone. And I want to be the one. This is why our business is booming. Okay. So she said to me, please teach me how to talk on the phone. I've only worked on my computer. I don't know about what should I say. It seems so strange.
You know, it is very common, I think, especially among the younger generation. It's all text. It's all social media. And the phone etiquette and just the comfort level of speaking on the phone and even face-to-face is just no longer there. You know, I'm 33, and I grew up with that, with phone etiquette and learning how to speak to people face-to-face and that sort of thing. But the generation that came right after me, probably kids born in the 90s, I just seen that in my interactions, is that they just simply either don't know or they just are very anxious about it.
Yeah.
And it seems like something you've run into as well. Speaking of social media, do you have any ideas about how we can encourage etiquette on social media? How we can model these rules for especially children? You know, it seems that children these days know how to manipulate an iPad and swipe with their fingers.
Oh, they're born with it today. They come out of the womb with an iPad.
It's amazing.
It's the truth. When you have a 2-year-old and they're doing their parent's phone because the parent just hands the child the phone and there they are. But yes, what we try to promote most of all with social media by teaching that everything that is said or written on social media can be traced back to the individual. And just because you're hiding behind a screen, and when I say hiding, I use that you are behind a screen, doesn't mean that your actions don't have consequences. So in teaching respect for others, it's so necessary because our actions and words, whether said in person or written down, have power, and we are responsible. And that moves us over into the bullying, the anger management. No one will ever know I am saying these bad things. And, oh my goodness, yes, someone will know. And if it's ever determined that you were the cause of another teen killing themselves because of all of the bashing that was coming through, you can be liable as a young person. So you can be underage. This is a hugely serious problem today, hugely serious, because you aren't facing the person that is doing all of this terribleness to you, and you don't know where it's coming from. So consequently, you think everyone hates you. It's a terrible and scary thing. We used to have brag books, and I don't know whether you had that growing up or not. You said you're 33, but that was very common in the late 60s. In high school, you'd have what was called a brag book, and there would be your name, and people would write in a great, great person or no comment. That was about the worst you were going to get, no comment. Today, things have truly changed,
It has. It really has, because anybody out there can, and even strangers, connections of connections of connections, can reach out and immediately judge your appearance, your work, your opinion, your thoughts. And most often, because they are so insulated, it is a critical. It's not always constructive criticism either. So you know, lapses in etiquette are going to happen on you know, in our lives, in keeping with this sort of theme. So when should we forgive those lapses, and when should we address them? And what's the best way to address those lapses when someone has done something that is outside of accepted conduct, or that is, you know, harmful to someone else's, you know, feelings or what have you? When should we address it?
Well, okay, because this is also an excellent question, and we are aware today that we live in a me world. What is living in a me world? It's so not about anybody you sit down, you even have dinner with somebody. It's not about, well, shall we all order an appetizer, which is what we teach, so that we're all eating together. We never thought about that. We sit down, I'm hungry, I'm having soup. I don't care. Whatever you guys have, you may have nothing, but I'm hungry and I'm having soup. See, that's the me, me, me. It's all about me. Well, if only we were in a position, if it was possible to change that me to we and be that individual, life would be so much more positive for all concerned. And in taking action for all the things that we do, instead of just blaming others, is also another big step in lapses of manners. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Well, it was theirs. That is another. Those two things, being the me generation and certainly not assuming the blame responsibility to yourself but to others, because, oh my goodness, that would be the thing to do. It wasn't my problem. Words are so easy to say, and if we change our actions because we care about others, it takes so much more time and determination, but it's the only way that I can see that we go forward in forgiving these lapses in manners. I know they didn't really mean to say that. I know they really didn't mean to act that way. Well, that may or may not be true, but it's only because we are the me generation that this is happening. I watched the whole Downton Abbey series, and what was that? The end of what?
I can tell you exactly, because I also watched the whole Downton Abbey series with my wife. It was from 1912 and the sinking of that the Titanic through to the 1920s.
That is right. The first year, it's the reference of 1912 and who's going to be the heir to Downton Abbey. You are so right. Well, with that era, so I guess then that could have been my grandparents' era before my mother. And yet there was such respect for other people. And we have come so far afield from that. I don't know what will happen today with our society, because I run into it constantly, but it boils down to the me, and it's only about the me. So we try with all of our classes to focus on if we can just point out the we again instead of just the me. It may do some good. I don't know.
Interesting. So focus on instead of your own kind of selfish, if you are the one who's offended, give the other person a little bit of grace and forbearance, essentially, and say sort of, they didn't mean that. Think the best of people, I think, is what you're saying in part.
Right. Gossip is not part of creating a positive environment. That's not really part of that.
Let me ask you this, because this is something that I was taught by someone, and there's etiquette also, I think, if you're talking about, you know, you want to have good thoughts about somebody that maybe they didn't mean it. But if somebody hurts you at something that they say, and they come to you and they apologize for what they said, one of the things that we do in society is we have a reflex to where we say, oh, that's no big deal, or that's fine, don't worry about it, that kind of thing. But isn't there some etiquette also in accepting an apology? Should you, if somebody comes to you and apologizes, should you say, don't worry about it, or, you know, don't
worry? I would never say, don't worry about it.
Right.
I would never approach it like that. I would say, what you are doing today takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And I commend you for your actions, and I accept your apology. That's the way I would handle it. So.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was a situation where it was a friend of mine who was talking about it, saying, you know, you say, thank you. I appreciate your apology. I accept your apology. What you said, you know, hurt me, and for you to come and to apologize means a lot to me. I think that's important when somebody apologizes to you. You know, it's if you realize that you were hurt, then, you know, there's a better way to accept it. So I appreciate that. So let's along those lines, do you have any kind of like etiquette do's and don'ts, just something kind of general for people to understand, or is that something that maybe is a little bit too deep to get into?
No, that's a very big one.
Okay.
Because when we talk about etiquette do's, so we've already established that etiquette is a rule of conduct. It's a set of rules. And when you do something for someone else, every day of your life. And this was something that my mother instilled at a young age, only because my father was gone so quickly. And they'd been married for 17 years, and, oh, you're never going to have children. And suddenly, here, this wonderful thing happened, and then he was gone. There wasn't even a parting word. It was instant, cerebral hemorrhage, dead. Okay, so my mother used to say, because I am sure she was very, very sad and very lonely, I guess. I mean, I was so little, but I grew up with Peggy. Do something for someone every day, and you will have so many wonderful things that come back to you. Well, what could you do for someone today? You could pick up the phone and you could say, I was thinking about you. You had a cold when we talked last week. Or you could do something very, very small, a card. I saw this and knew that you collected fishing rods. Or something that's so, you know, oh, this is a news article. And we were just discussing this last week. And I instantly thought of you. When you make every day, and I ask myself every night, what did you do today for someone else? What happens? The circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That one kind act was the pencil dot on the paper that sent out a circle that could have been repeated by that person to someone else. So what goes around comes around, and you will always be greatly rewarded. So that would be, when we talk about etiquette dues, don't be so involved with yourself. Oh, I feel terrible today. Oh, I have the worst luck. Well, as long as you think that, I get up every morning and I thank God for the rain because it's watering the flowers, or the sunshine because it really is bringing growth to the plants outside. It feels good. It warms the body. We have so much to be thankful for when we have two arms and two legs and two eyes and ears and a mouth to speak. So how in the world can we go around with woe is me? There's so many blessings. And then you ask about the don'ts. I find often that people, and I don't know if it's just a lack of thought, they're just not computing, but they ask old friends and acquaintances personal questions that are absolutely none of their business. It's just, you don't need to even, why would you ask such a question? And that question could be, oh, that pen is so beautiful. I know that was very expensive. Do you remember how much that cost? Well, it's none of your business. And we've become such a casual society that we feel that we are owed the answer. And recently I read from another etiquette company that when you receive a gift person to person, that you thank the individual and you never write them a note. You thank them right in front of you. Oh, well, hey, this was a great gift. And, oh, gosh, I'm going to use it and I'm going to love it. Well, I called this etiquette company, a leader in the industry, to say, I just want you to know that at the American School of Protocol, and my take on this is totally opposite of yours. A note says, I really took the time to say thank you for all that you do. And we are big note writers here. And, of course, we receive a lot of notes. I think people are afraid not to write me. They always think they have to write me. But when someone has done a kindness for you, took you to the doctor, if this is an example, it's never happened to me, because you didn't have a ride, that's a note. Thank you so much for the time you gave to me. And we can never do too much of that. So, again, thank you notes are gifts and they're presents, because we go into a long dissertation of why a thank you note. This is the way we teach it. The present is on the table and it's all wrapped up. Gosh, well, how long does it take to open this present? Not even 60 seconds. Rip that paper off. Throw that bow down. Get in that box. oh, gee, this is a whatever, laptop, iPad, whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh, thank you so much for this iPad. This is just great. I've been wanting one for a long time. Well, that took about 3 seconds, but let's talk about how that laptop got in that box. Gee, I want to find the right present because this is a special occasion. So I'm going to go to the store 2 hours later. I'm still not sure what laptop I should buy, but I'm working on this, and I just bought it. I get home, and I'm about to wrap this present. Darn, I'm out of Scotch tape. Let me get back in my car and go to the store and get the tape that I need. Well, I come home and I wrap the gift, and I'm going to mail this because it seems like the right thing to do before the occasion happens. I'm certainly not going to walk in with a gift. I'm going to make sure they have it ahead of time. Oh, darn, I get to the post office and there's 17 in front of me. Well, gee, I've spent about 4 hours on this gift. How long is it going to take you to write a 4-sentence thank you note? Do you see?
There is no
judgment room there. Mm-hmm. This is a demand because someone did something very beautiful for you.
That is such an excellent point, Peggy. And I feel really guilty now for some reason.
Good.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you and learning a little bit more about etiquette and what the American School of Protocol and Personal Best do. And we've been, for our listeners, as a reminder, we've been talking to Peggy Newfield, who's founder and president of Personal Best, Inc., etiquette experts. Where can people...
And the American School of Protocol.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Keep me honest. So where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
You may go to our website, which would be theamericanschoolofprotocol.com, and that would be for certification training. That is a 5-day training program here in Atlanta. We have 11 on our staff that are all experts in their areas. And therefore, you come for training, and then you can start the dream of your lifetime if you want to give back to community. We feel with our over 700 graduates that we are really enhancing community greatly already. Okay, so that's one thing. You can follow us on Facebook. We also are tweeting. Oh, my goodness, we're Instagram. We're everything. So
well, you have to be.
You
have to be these days. You have to be these days. Well, thank you once again for taking the time to speak with us.
You are so welcome. It was my pleasure.
And we hope that we hope everybody will make sure that we put in the post that we put up. We'll put links to your site and to your Facebook page and everything like that. And so if there's businesses out there or schools that want to learn about etiquette, and they'll be able to get in touch with you. So we appreciate that. And we hope that you have a very prosperous 2017. And that you teach a lot of people to stop being so rude.
Thank you. Well, that is very, very good. And I am delighted with the opportunity that we could chat. I wish you both the best of luck with your podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Fifth Estate. Neil, you have any closing thoughts?
No, Jay,
good.
I do not.
Good. You need to shut up. How's that for etiquette? All
I
right,
think
everyone.
We should edit this segment, Jay.
should be nicer?
Yeah, you should be.
All right, well, we're going to close out with a little music. Here we go. Perfect for you, Neil.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
We will see you next time on The Fifth Estate.
Let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words.
All right.
So... All righty.